Good morning, Central Baptist family. Once again, Monday morning, devotions from 2 Peter. And we're almost done in this book, chapter 3. And I've asked Jamie to join me again this morning. Jay, if you could read that passage for us, please.
So we're reading from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly.
Thank you, Jay. This is actually a nice passage. It's easy to analyze and find an outline, but what I thought I would do is just to mention some of the important issues that are raised in this particular passage, just for our consideration, and I'll mention them to begin with, and then we'll try and have some sort of discussion over them. The first is that Peter is raising the importance of reminders. We ought to be reminding each other, we ought to be remembering, and specifically that which has been said in the past, in the Bible, and of course that which has happened before. So the importance of reminders. The second thing is motivation. What is it that moves people to do the many different things that we see in the world? And I'd like us to talk a little bit about that one. Then also, when we engage with people and arguments are presented, it's very important that we try and dig a little bit deeper to see, as I see in this particular passage, what I would call half an argument. So there's some truth in what is being said, but it's not fully understood or it's not fully expanded. So there again, I'd like us to talk about that. I like what I see in verse 7 in terms of the reliability of the word. The word which spoke in the past when there was judgment, and the words which speak about judgment to come or the second coming of Jesus. These are words that we can depend on and take as reliable. And then, of course, there is the blessing in this passage. In as much as it being a reminder and consisting of a warning, it is also telling us and reminding us that Jesus is coming again. So having said that, Jay, perhaps a question, and then we can have some discussion around that.
I think in you were speaking about the motivation, and verse 3 speaks about scoffers. And I think the world we live in today, everyone has their own truths. So how are we supposed to deal with that? And are we supposed to accept everyone's truths and what they believe? How would you deal with that?
Yeah, good question. I think the important thing to see is that naturally speaking, the Bible tells us that we have a sinful nature. And as verse 3 identifies, that these scoffers are operating out of what Peter identifies as sinful desires. In other words, they're doing that, they're acting on the basis of that which pleases themselves. They're not actually considering, well, what is it that God has said? What is it that pleases God? And I've seen over the course of my life different ways in which these motivations are manifest. Even if we divide between the unbeliever, the believer, I don't know if you remember a scripture where we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it is, that Paul speaks there about the love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ constrains me. That's very different, isn't it, to somebody who's saying, I'm just looking after myself. What do you see amongst people? How often do you see people thinking more for themselves or of themselves than thinking, what is it that is pleasing to God?
I think today most people have a disregard for what God has to say and what God wants for their lives. And it's so clear in university especially that people are following their own sinful desires. They don't really care about anyone else around them. It's so selfish.
Yeah, which also raises the question, or takes me back to your question just now. What do we say to people that are, we see, going off the track? Mm-hmm. I think you commented, or your question to me was, do we just leave people? Do we just be nice to people because they are nice people? Mm-hmm. Or do we warn them? Do we confront them? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
It's difficult because confronting them will result in them being offended and walking away. But I do think, you know, we should confront them, especially if they are fellow believers. We ought to confront them in kindness and in love.
Yes. And based on this passage before us today, the very fact that Peter is saying, look, remember, be reminded that there are going to be scoffers. We make a big mistake if we think it was Peter just speaking to the people of his day. Mm. Because in the Old Testament, we find an abundance of false prophets. Down through the ages, 2,000 years of the church's existence, there's an abundance of those who seek to go against the scriptures and against all that has been revealed, and particularly even about the second coming. If we could move on, Jamie, to the argument that they're using here, basically saying, well, nothing's ever changed. Why would something change? And since Jesus hasn't come in all these years, why would he come now?
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to say to them.
You wouldn't know what to say. All right, it does seem, and I mean the argument, and that's why I said that it's a half-baked argument, because in some measure they're true. What they're saying is true. Jesus did say, I'm coming soon. Much of what he said in the Old Testament communicates that kind of a sense of readiness. And yet 2,000 years have gone for us, and it was only for them 40, 50 years before this book was written. And now they're wondering. And so what is the argument? And so what Peter does, in fact, is he takes them back and he says, yes, it is true that things seemingly don't change. And they, of course, go back to creation. And then Peter follows that on and he says, yes, in the same way that in the beginning the world was made, but there was a judgment. And the judgment being referred to over here by water, the deluge of water and the flood, of course, is Noah's flood. And we find there again, same era, same response by people. Everyone believed Noah. Mm-hmm. He warned them, he built the ark, it took them years to build the ark, and then eventually the rains come and judgment and flooding takes place. And so he extends that argument and he says the world is going to be judged. There is going to be a second coming. And the same word, and if you just go back, I think it's verse 7, just read verse 7 to us again as well.
But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly.
So it's going to happen. And their argument is, well, natural laws exist. We wake up every morning and the sun rises. We go to bed in the evening after the sun has set. We understand when we drop something, it falls to the ground because there's a law of gravity and we have laws that govern all of the world. And so their argument is, why would that change? And what they forget is that they're God's laws. Mm. God created the world. God creates the universe. He sets everything in motion. He can intervene. Mm. And he does intervene, as he's done in the past. And miracles that were performed, the resurrection of Jesus goes against the very laws of nature that we understand. And so really to urge people, Jamie, what would you say you would want to take from this passage in terms of having the courage to perhaps confront someone? Hmm.
Well, I think we can take three things that we've heard from the passage to remind people. And the first thing would be we have to be ready. So us as Christians need to be ready for when Jesus comes back. So this means having short accounts with God. So if you sin, continuously going back to the cross daily. The second thing is to warn others. So to tell people about Jesus coming back. And I think it's important to say that we can't convince people to believe that Jesus is coming back. It's only by God's intervention that their hearts will be changed. But it's our job as Christians to warn them that Jesus is coming. And then the third thing, which kind of links into warning people, is to share the gospel. I mean, that is so important, to tell people the truth and to confront them in love and kindness with the gospel.
Yeah, and to do so in a relationship, we don't want to be thumping people and bashing them over their heads with the Bible. But as we have relationships, as we have opportunity to have the courage to have an expression of love that says, I'm concerned for your soul. And your soul, of course, in this life, but for eternity. And the readiness just reminded me of that parable that Jesus told of the 10 virgins and their lamps, and they were not ready. If I remember correctly, it was only one at the end that was actually ready with oil in her lamp. And so we do need to be ready, watchful and vigilant. Jesus could come today. And we're living in a time of much turmoil in the world. And we don't know the time and the day. But we are told it could be any time. So let's be ready. So God bless you. Think about what the scripture says. Be reminded of all that we've been told through the apostles and the prophets and Jesus. And let's walk in the light with him. God be with you today and this coming week. Amen.